Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We are back. And we are live. It is Fight IQ presented by RotoWire here for UFC 270, where we will once again crown the baddest man on the planet. The reigning champion is the underdog, Francis Ngannou, taking on the challenger who is the favorite, Ciryl Gane. We'll talk about that fight later. We'll also have a trilogy fight. Brandon, the baby assassin Moreno, he's the flyweight champion, taking on the former champion, Davison Figueiredo. They are Moreno's 1-1. They've drawn one. We're going to run it back for a third time. We had 13 fights on this card. We're now down to 11. I'll break the news at the top. Rodolfo Vieira and Wellington Turman. Fight is off. Vieira, undisclosed medical issues. Joe will say it's a rampant case of vagitis. And then we have Aliyah Topuria and Charles Jourdain is off. Topuria, weight-cutting issues. And he just seems like that type of guy who's going to have that issue his whole career. But those two fights are off. There will be no late replacements. 11 fight card, UFC 270 here on Fight IQ. I'm your host, Daily Fantasy Sniper. With me, as always, the normal crew is back, the regulars, the co-hosts, the analysts, the important guys. I'm just here for some comic relief and to drink my coffees. It is Chris Olsen. You can find him on Twitter at Real Chris Olsen. Joe, better known in the MMA community as Sun Tzu at Sun Tzu. Guys, been a little while. Happy New Year. Hope all is well. What's going on?
As they say in Thailand, Suk Soon Wan Pi Mai. Happy New Year in Thai. Wearing my Kamikaze Overdrive hat today. Shout out to Scott Johnson, one of the original OGs. He has since retired. Helped me take down a GPP where I got to meet Mr. Frank Mir. I have been looking forward to this card, but I've got a bone to pick with DraftKings. I am very upset over the contest sizings of this slate, which have got me very down. I killed myself playing NBA to win entries into the 5-5-5 so I could max it out. And lo and behold, it's a mere 20K on top. So yes, I'll be happy to win it, but I would much rather have 50. I'll turn it over to you, Chris.
Yeah, I just wanted to redirect to this card a little bit. I made my little joke on Twitter that this was actually UFC 270, Dana White's Contender Series. We have quite a few Contender Series fighters and even some others who are not Contender Series fighters, but debuters all the same. I know fighters fell out, but it's seeming more and more, and maybe I'm just slow to wake up to this, like, that the primary function of the Contender Series now is just to have bodies on call for when fighters fall out. I mean, we've seen these fights now, and I think Brett Apley made this point well last week that these fighters are, that we hyped them up with these gaudy records are not quite all they're made up to be. But I'll stop bitching now because we do have two excellent fights at the top, the two title fights. One of the best fights, one of the most exciting fights I think you can make in MMA right now, which is Ngannou Gane. Incredibly psyched for that. We're here for all of it, and I'm ready to get going. So let's break it down.
We have a sneaky, top to bottom, this card is relatively weak. We'll be honest. The two great fights, and then it's a bunch of fights. I think there is one sleeper, really good fight in this card. Anybody got a guess who fight I'm looking forward to that's not the main or co-main?
Kay Hansen, because you like her OnlyFans page.
No, but not a bad guess. Chris, any idea? You want to upsell here? There's one I think really solid fight on
of
here.
Of course it's Frivola Valdez. Come on.
Nope.
I honestly don't know what you're referring to, which
I really like Cody Stamen, Saeed Nurmagomedov.
Okay,
I like
that would be the one.
I like that fight a lot. I think Stamen is perpetually underrated in this division. And I'm interested in Saeed, his striking. He's no-showed a couple times. I think it's a solid fight. I do think it's a good fight. And it's weird. They have it in the no man's land placement on the pay-per-view. The second fight is like the trash spot of the pay-per-view card. It's in the worst spot. Like it's weird. Anyway, we will break down this card for DFS. Before we do that, make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. MMA, NFL, NBA, all the good stuff. Optimizers, tools, season long, daily. You need it. They got it. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, RotoWire MMA, on YouTube or iTunes. Got to kick all the other sports asses. I said it. I don't care if you, what you think about it, editor. We're the best team. Anyway, let's move on and talk about some fights. We're going to start off with K OnlyFans Hansen at 80. Can you imagine Bruce Buffer saying that? Make me happy. At 8,800, taking on. This name has been giving me tons of problems. Jazzudavicious. We're just going to call Jasmine the rest of the way. And it's weird that I can't say that name because I'm picking her to win this fight. It's not a confident pick really at all. I've seen Kay Hansen beat. I don't think she's anything really special. I think it's a typical low-level women's MMA fight. There's not a ton of dogs I'm willing to jump into the sack with. Yes, I said that on purpose. And Jasmine is one that I'm willing to risk some lineups on because she opens up the salary you need to get some of the heavy hitters because there is some big upside up at the top. So I think even if you're not picking Kay, I think you have to agree Jasmine's the better DraftKings play in terms of potential to be on the optimal. So give me Jasmine. Joe, I mean, I can't not start with you here. You're up.
Well, I'm so happy that you already have had the opportunity to use the word perpetually because it certainly doesn't apply to this fight. Look, Kay Hansen is young. She's what? She's 22 years old. Yeah, she's gone the, OnlyFans route. But
as they say, young, dumb, and full of potential.
Yeah, I know. I get you. This is PG-13 anyway.
What? She's full of potential. You guys are dirty. Get your minds out of the gutter.
Yeah, full of potential. Okay. Well, one other thing that's worth noting, okay, this is, she's stepping up to take this at flyweight. Her last two fights were at 115. She lost a fairly controversial decision to Corey McKenna. I was on McKenna, but even I was nervous when they read that decision. It keyed a big parlay for me. She beat Jin Yoon Frey with a triangle armbar in the third round. Look, she's got some mat skills. Coming into the strawweight fight, she is facing a much bigger opponent in Yasmin, a Canadian fighter. She's 5'7", but she's also, look, she's 32 years old, and she has not had a lot of fights. I mean, she's only been fighting professionally since 2019, and she lost a split decision to Elise Reed. That is not a ringing endorsement for support. I have to go with Hansen here. I think she wins the fight. I think she's better everywhere. A lot of times people get hung up on size and reach advantages and don't look at the underlying skills.
Size matters.
In some instances it does. Don't look at the underlying skills. I mean, let me see if you guys remember a fighter by the name of Holly Holm and a fighter by the name of Megan Anderson. They saw how Holly Holm looked next to Megan Anderson at weigh-ins, and all the money came in on Megan. What no one realized is that Megan could not defend a takedown, nor could she get up. Holly dominated that fight. Look, I think Kay is going to win a pretty decisive decision here, maybe get a late finish. They're still, even with two fights having fallen out, there's still too much at the upper end of the DraftKings salary spectrum to fully endorse Hansen as a play. I will have a couple of shares of the dog here, but do you really think the UFC wants to get behind a 32-year-old fighter who's been fighting for 2 years? Hansen is more marketable. I don't know how Dana feels about the OnlyFans page, but I'll take Hansen here to win either a decisive decision or to get a late finish.
Chris.
Yeah, I agree with Joe. I think there could be some sneaky
kiss ass.
Jazz, I like that, by the way. I'm sticking with it. Just because Jazz is, you know, she strikes me very much as Joe mentioned her size, and I think that's probably just how she succeeded on the regional scene, just by using her size and getting fighters down. I mean, I think one of the themes with the Contender Series fighters here is none of them looked all that good in their Contender Series fights, even the ones who won. And Jazz really just sort of muscled her opponent to the ground a couple times. I don't think Kay Hansen is going to have a problem with the size or strength disparity here. I think she's a good wrestler. And I think if she can get some rinse and repeat, she can have some sneaky upside. I wouldn't put too much into it, but I think it's something to look out for with the wrestling. The other thing I would say is just a footnote on the Corey McKenna. I think a controversial split decision is being charitable. I thought that was a terrible decision. I couldn't believe. I mean, at least give us a split, and then we can say, well, somebody had the right idea. But the unanimous decision just blows me away there. I think her boxing is just sort of, you know, it accomplishes what it needs to do. She wants to get in the pocket and take you down. I think, like I said, the rinse and repeat angle is there. The submission, as Joe said, she's slick off of her back and on the ground. And, yeah, I think she can maybe surprise a little bit. And, you know, you always want to have the first fight just in case it flops you dead. So I'm going with Kay Hansen here, and I'll have a little bit more than the field, but I'm not going to go crazy.
All right, next fight up, we have Vanessa Demopoulos, 8,300, taking on Silvana Gomez-Juarez at 7,900. Line on this fight, Demopoulos minus 140, Silvana Gomez-Juarez plus 120. Pretty classic striker versus grappler. We were chatting about this one before we went live, and I was saying, hey, I kind of like Demopoulos here. I think she's the sneaky mid-range play because she can get takedowns, and, you know, I always kind of block towards that. I won't give away people's picks, but I was, you know, reminded, yeah, but she could get pieced up on the feet. Yeah, either way, but I think of the two, more likely to end up on the optimal, and I always just go towards the grappler. It is my knee-jerk reaction, so I'm on Vanessa Demopoulos. Again, it's these first two fights are rough in terms of high-quality MMA. They're all right fights, but high variance is my point, too, not just to trash on it. Those type of fights typically have high variance. So give me Demopoulos. Chris, you're starting off.
Yeah, give me Demopoulos here, too. Silvana backs up too much. She's going to cede way too much ground. She's going to play right into the hands of the grappler here. Her first fight, her fight against Cadenas, which is a step up in competition for her, she gets subbed almost instantly. She scores a grand total of 1 point, one DraftKings point in that fight. I don't like her very much at all. I mean, the idea that she can piece somebody up, you have to consider that I think Demopoulos can walk through those shots. She's done it before. We've seen her do that on the regional scene. I think she can take a punch. And like I said, Silvana's just going to give her a lot of opportunities to get those takedowns. So I like the rinse and repeat angle here as well, more so here than I did in the first fight. And I'm taking Demopoulos.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gomez here. I think she ran into a buzzsaw last fight out in, Lupe. Lupe just kind of schooled her by locking her up and taking her down. I think Juarez is a much better striker. I think she'll be able to kind of impose her will here. We got a 6-4 fighter here in Demopoulos who... His last two fights were grappling matches, of which she, didn't even win. So with that said, look, I'm not super high on this fight. I don't expect to have a lot of it, but I've got to lean towards Gomez Juarez in this fight. When you're coming off an armbar loss to someone named Fatima Klein. Yeah, I do. I really do. And again, she lost to JJ Aldridge. She also lost to Lupita Godinez and Corey McKenna. you know, in the contender series. I'm not sure. I mean, she's not super hard on the eyes, but she's no Misha Tate. So I'm not sure how she's hung around so long in the UFC. But I'm guessing this is a fight for pink slips. So I will take either fighter or both. I'm going to take Gomez Juarez here and just kind of like, you know, if I need to get anything done, maybe build lineups for, you know, the late slate, I'll do that during this fight. I don't expect it to be overly exciting, but give me Gomez Juarez.
Can you imagine if the UFC ran an event? Like, you know how they used to call it UFC 22, you know, grudge match, whatever it was. It'd be a terrible card, but I'd be endlessly entertained if they did UFC 275 slips and every fight somebody got cut.
Yeah. I mean, at least, you know, angles might be fun. Gimmicks might be fun.
I mean, why not? I mean, I know why not, but it, what would main event slips? I don't know what it would be, but put some thought into it.
UFC 279, steroids only. I'm here for it. Let's do it.
You know, then we can finally get Gabby Garcia in the UFC. Yeah. Anyway, Matt Frivola, 8,700, taking on Gennaro. I knew I transposed the N and the R. Gennaro Valdez at 7,500 line in this fight. Frivola minus 200, Valdez plus 170. Say what you want about Frivola. Always an exciting fight. Kill or be killed kind of guy. He can grapple. He has power. He's my pick here. I'm not going to go too crazy. I think he's live in all formats. I don't think Valdez is quite there yet. That being said, the only problem about all of that is that Frivola can absolutely no-show because we've seen it before. And on those nights, I'm pretty sure Chris could knock him out. So hopefully he doesn't. That's not what pops in tomorrow night. Joe, who you got?
So 10-0 fighter in Valdez, training partner of Brandon Moreno, which is probably how he got on this card, coming off of a second round knockout win by punches in the contender series against Patrick White. You know, Matt the Steamroller Frivola, I guess he's still a Sarah Longo product. He got a really nice Christmas basket from Terrence McKinney. Thank you for the 50,000, because he made McKinney look like Francis Ngannou with that loss 7 seconds into the first round, I believe. Left cross, ground and pound. It's going to be a high-paced fight. Look, I like Frivola. I think he's got to be careful because this Valdez guy is going to come out and just bomb on him. But if he can weather the early storm, I see that he could win this fight. He's priced, what, at 8.7K? Still a little high, I think, but he's going to get some ownership just based on the level of competition that Valdez has gone up against. So give me Frivola here, you know, to win either a decision or to get a late stoppage.
Chris, who you got?
Yeah, so there's wrong way. So there's so much of, I guess, an aura built up on Matt Frivola, and it's not just Sean. I when I looked, I was even surprised when I was writing this up. Does anybody want to guess how many knockout wins Frivola has in his career?
How about none?
One.
Yeah.
One knockout win. So to say that he has power, I mean, sure. I mean, he swings hard, but the knockouts don't really come. And for that, I think, is the reason I'm on Valdez here. Because like Joe said, he's just going to come out like a madman and bomb. And he does that in service of getting in the pocket and getting takedowns. We've seen Frivola out-wrestled. Sarukian got him 10 out of 12 times. Sarukian has a 40% takedown rate. Otherwise, he got upwards of 90% on Frivola. I like those odds for our man Gennaro. I just don't know what Frivola does well. He's 2-2-1 in the UFC. One of those wins is not around anymore. Luis Pena, he got hurt and almost finished in that fight.
But to be fair, Luis Pena would be in the UFC if he wasn't going to prison. Like, that's a rough point, dude. That's a rough.
Well, he struggled while he was here. It's not as though he was putting on fire performances. And,
true, but he'd still be in the UFC.
Sure, but that's because they keep everybody around here. You know,
going to jail.
But But fair enough. I just think that, you know, I always look out for these lines where, you know, there we have a known commodity, which is Frivola, who might, as I said, might have a little bit of aura built up around him unjustly. There's a lot of hype on him coming in, and then he gets instantly knocked out by Marco Polo Reyes. And, I mean, when's the last time we saw him? We got to put him on a milk carton. So I think that, you know, is there that much difference between Marco Polo Reyes and Gennaro Valdez? I would say probably not, you know. So I think if one can do it, the other can. We're looking for dogs. We're looking for these high-octane fighters who can put a pace and either knock you out or get a lot of takedowns. That's Gennaro to a T. I'm taking him here.
You won the dog. All right. And he could, I can't even, there's variance in the fight because Frivola can no show.
Don't worry. There's another dog, which is coming up where you will have something to say. I guarantee it.
It's probably this next fight. I bet then unless, you're not picking Pete Rodriguez.
No,
you?
He's not.
No.
Okay. Just cause I was saying how much I like Rayon.
Guy, Pete Rodriguez has got the worst Tapology photo. Yeah. I mean, who wants a Tapology photo where you have a belly? I mean, you know, come on, dude.
Well, his nickname is Dead Game. What does that even mean?
I mean, don't know.
It means it's like an insult to yourself. Dead Game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, let's talk about Tony Gravely, 8,900, taking on, I can't say this name either, Simon Oliveira. It's an Oliveira, S. Oliveira. This name, usually I'm great with the names, but the Portuguese names just bend me over, man. 7,300. The line on this fight, Gravely, is the favorite currently at, I can't find the line. It keeps the minus 250. Oliveira plus 200. Speaking of getting bent over, that's what Gravely is going to do to Oliveira. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be sexy. I think it's going to be a good old fashioned wrestle fuck. So give me Gravely to win that way. If Oliveira can bait this into a firefight, sure. Because Gravely, we've seen hurt. He's not a good striker, but he's a good, relentless type of wrestler. So again, those are the guys I tend to pick. Give me Gravely by wet blanket. Chris, you're up first.
Yeah, I basically agree, but something scares me. And by the way,
his chin is terrifying. His chin is terrifying.
It is, but I mean, it wasn't that really. I mean, Manus can crack. He's a pretty good boxer. And I mean, that fight was heartbreaking. Gravely had him knocked out in round one. The fight doesn't stop as it should have.
That was
so
crazy.
So he's able to continue and then knocks. I mean that's just some bad luck. But I mean, the chin is one thing. But the thing that I was worried about is, submissions are the Achilles heel. That's 5 out of 7 losses for Gravely have come by sub. And, there's a lot of sub on Simon's record. Oliveira, what am I doing? Oliveira's record. A lot of subs there and quite a few guillotines. And, Gravely has a couple losses by those guillotines. So can he stick his neck somewhere where he can't get it out and then the fight ends that way? Yes, I think so. I'm not picking that because I don't like picking fights on such narrow margins like that where it's like, okay, he's going to shoot in and I know he's going to get a guillotine. I mean, that's too narrow for me. I don't like that, especially when you have a guy like Gravely who can do the rinse and repeat and can get a lot of points. Plus, it's not like we haven't seen Oliveira held down on the regional scene. We have. I just think people should keep that in the backs of their minds because it's a real possibility that I think he just walks himself into a submission here. So all that being said, I like Gravely. He has some power, as we've seen. As long as he doesn't fall in love with it, I think the aggression that he shows on the feet can really keep Oliveira backed up. But and so my pick is Gravely. If all goes well, he puts up 110 points in like a blanket decision, high volume decision, as Sean said. But always keep that in. I would say have a couple Oliveiras because you don't want to get burned by that guard sub, and part of me can feel it coming. So there's a warning.
Joe, who you got?
Well, I have to say though, I Chris is such a prophet. I mean, you think this is an MMA show and we actually give out life lessons. I mean, sticking something someplace that you can't get out is really a life lesson that we should all be cognizant of. As it relates to this fight, I like Tony Gravely a lot. I think he's probably your safest cash play. He has got a very good floor and a high ceiling. I could certainly see 12, 13x even in a decision win due to grappling upside. The opponent comes from, actually, it's not an oxymoron to say he comes from one of the better Brazilian camps. We've all known the downfall of the Brazilian camps since drug testing began. But Astro Fight Team is a pretty good camp in Brazil. He fights out of that camp. Again, this is a fight for Tony Gravely to win. If he loses this, I could also see a pink slip coming his way. You know, for those of you that don't know, regardless of your contract, the UFC can cut you coming off of two losses. So this is a fight that Gravely is going to be keen to win. Again, I like him in all formats, but I particularly like him in cash. He's priced a little high, but with two of the upper end fights falling off, or two of the upper end ownership absorbers coming off, I could certainly see him getting a little bit more play. But give me Tony Gravely. Thank you for the life lesson, Chris.
I accidentally, I don't know if anybody caught it. I know Chris did, but I disconnected trying to click on something because I was looking at a different monitor, and Joe said there was such a thing as good Brazilian fight teams, and then tried to reference team Astro
Fight Team.
Yeah, that's where Junior Albini's out of.
That's where Darren Till fought.
Yeah, yeah. He sucks too.
I'm saying,
yeah, no such thing.
I'm saying, as far as Brazilian fight teams go, it's an okay fight team.
I'll go to some shitty corner in Rio. I'll find nine tough gang looking guys, and that's a better fight team than whatever
We're gonna start calling you DFS Sniper Capoeira.
I can't say Brazilian shit. Give me all the Russian names. I can say Magomed Ankalaev, Magomed Sharipov. I can say all the Russian things. You give me something Brazilian and my tongue just goes, no, I'm out. Say it. Say it as white as you can and get through this.
There you go.
That's what happens. Anyway, let's move on to Jack Della Maddalena at 9,200 taken on. I was going to call him dead money.
Dead game.
But I like dead money better.
I like that too. It makes sense, at least. At least you got one that makes sense.
Pete Rodriguez at 7,000. Guys, Jack Della Maddalena is not good, and he in this fight is a -335 favorite. That's what you should know about Pete Rodriguez. That's the entire narrative to this fight. Della Maddalena should get a knockout. I like him in all formats, especially on FanDuel. I mean, if Pete Rodriguez wins, I'm going to have a really bad day. Don't message me on Twitter. I don't want to talk to you. Yeah. Go ahead and give me Della Maddalena. Joe.
Yeah. So as I had referenced, you know, we lost two fights, Ilia Topuria and Vieira. We're going to, you know, absorb some of that 9K plus ownership. Again, with the acknowledgement that forecasting ownership is not my DFS superpower, I do see a lot of that ownership going over to Magdalena or Della Maddalena. To Sean's point, you know, tread with caution, but he does have one of the best inside the distance props, you know, on the whole slate. I think it's -150. You can't ignore that. You know, it's unfortunate.
Math-wise, you have to play him. If you're a
right,
math
well,
numbers
you
guy.
Do, right. It's unfortunate that, you know, the ownership is going to – I am going to go out on a limb right now and take this for whatever it's worth. He will be the highest owned fighter on the slate. You know, for that reason, there's some value, especially if you are backing the dogs in the co and the main. You can build some really good lineups around those dogs. I see him absorbing, again, a lot of that ownership from Vieira and Topuria. So it's not a big secret. It was a lot better play with those two fights on. But, you know, coming in at like, what, 40%+ owned, maybe higher because of the size of the slate. Yeah. It's not that big a secret, but you do got to play them. A lot of people are going to have them in their lineups. So if you want to get different, you know, fade them or try to go the other way on this fight. I don't highly recommend that, at least not in GPPs. But I guess I'll have to go with the Aussie fighter here to get a win by finish.
Chris.
Yeah, there's no other way to pick it. 4-0 Pete Rodriguez started his MMA career in March of 2020. That is something. By contrast,
it's a thing. It's a thing.
It is a fact. Thing.
There's nothing else to say about it. It's true.
Della Maladena started his career in 2016, has 12 fights, which makes him a grizzled veteran in comparison to Pete Rodriguez. I like Della Maladena a little bit more as a fighter. I like his body work. I think he throws a combination. He obviously has power. Pete Rodriguez, it's just, I mean, he's never been out of the first round. He barely gets out of the second minute. So it's really hard to say what you have in him. He's got a decent-ish footwork, I guess, but otherwise that's about it. And it's just going to be so hard. Guys like this, there's so much you don't know about him. What's he going to do if he hits Della Maladena and Della Maladena doesn't go away? He's probably never experienced that before. What if he does here? There's just too many question marks. The win by KO, TKO, was minus 125 for Della Maladena. I usually don't like props that are negative like that, but at this one you got to take because I think it's going down. Della Maladena, I think, by finish. If Pete Rodriguez wins, he's going to burn a whole lot of us, but don't see any other way to play it. So, Della Maladena.
Yeah, if Pete Rodriguez wins, I'm serious. Nobody message me. I don't want to hear about it. All right, next fight up, we're going to talk about Ryony Barcelos, 9,300, taking on Victor Henry at 6,900. Barcelos is a – where is it now? Can I just say big-ass favorite and move on? No, he's minus 510. Henry is plus 375. Look, I've been all about Ryony Barcelos. I thought he – if I remember right, I thought he won his last fight against Valiev, where everybody was on Valiev. He was a dog. No, he was a favorite in that fight, but everybody seemed to be picking Valiev. He got two knockdowns in that fight. I don't really remember the rest of it, but honestly, I didn't watch more tape on this because
he got a little tired.
Did he get tired? I mean, yeah. That does sound right. I thought he was going to get a finish early, and I thought he did enough in round two.
So did I. That was a shocking decision.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember thinking I was being surprised, and everybody else was on Valiev as the popular dog in the card, and I backed Barcelos, and I'll back him again. Honestly, I think he's gonna be the sleeper guy in this 135 pound division for a while. The reason I didn't watch this fight more is because Victor Henry. Sorry, I mean he could be okay in the UFC. I don't think he's the worst fighter, but I am just really, really high on Ryony Barcelos. So Barcelos is my pick, live in all formats. Chris, you're first.
Yeah, I think this is a bad matchup for Victor Henry.
He's not terrible. He like give him a good UFC debut fight. This is terrible for him.
It is. I think that like his style of just trying to wear you out with pace and pressure isn't going to work here just because he's very open defensively and Barcelos is really slick on the counters. He's got a really good jab. When Victor Henry fought Kyler Phillips a couple years ago, Kyler Phillips took him down whenever he wanted and put him in a whole bunch of bad spots, whole lot of submission attempts. Barcelos can do that here. Barcelos is obviously a much better jiu-jitsu fighter. One of the better jiu-jitsu fighters in this division, so I don't see any other way for this, unless he can just keep getting up and tire him out. But I don't see that happening either. I think that Barcelos is probably going to walk through this. Victor Henry might see better days, but it's not going to be this one. The play is a strong Barcelos here.
Joe,
dude, Victor Henry, man. At least we know that he's got a career in espionage, man. Have you seen this guy's ears? Dude, Dumbo called and he wants his ears back.
I hope Ronnie he sees Barcelos, this. I hope Ronnie he sees this, flies to New Jersey and beats the shit out of you.
I let him.
Just because it'd be a good, just because it'd be a good story.
Ronnie Barcelos is actually 3 days younger than Victor Henry. There's a little bit of trivia for you. Victor Henry is a 34-year-old making his UFC debut. Look, since 2018 or so, he's been on a pretty good run. It's unfortunate that it's taken this long, for him to get into the UFC. They are not doing him any favors here, giving him this matchup against Ronnie. Ronnie has got to be hungry. Look, the time for him is now. He's been this prospect for just way too long. He really needs to make something happen here, and he really needs to make something happen in a spectacular fashion. I mean, a boring decision is not going to move him up in the ranks in what is a very, very stacked and packed division. So I'm looking for something big out of Roni. Again, I love him in cash. I like him in GPPs. I think he is going to even be now more owned because of Tapora and Vieira having fallen off the card. So, you know, give me a lot of Roni. And if he happens to lose, I have to believe that he is on his way out.
Yeah, he'll be the next PFL or Bellator guy, which is sad because I think he's really good, but he's going to start getting expensive for Dana.
Yep.
Which is, you know, a problem if you're not contending. All right, next fight up is, sorry guys, bear with me one second. I have all kinds of issues. All right, I'm good. Oh,
it's the people's main event coming up next.
Holy shit! That's my mouse did that because it doesn't want to talk about this fight. It's out. Michael Morales 8200 taking on Trevin Giles. No, okay. Michael Morales 8200, Trevin Giles 8000. Line on this fight. I believe last time I looked, it evened up to a pick 'em. I don't see a line posted anymore.
What?
You guys see a line for this fight? Oh, there it is. Michael Morales, it got moved on Best Fight Odds. All the canceled fights are above it now. Michael Morales is -115. Trevin Giles, -105. Depends on the book. It's a pick 'em in some spot. Look, I'm on Morales. It's not a confident pick. I don't think this fight is terribly meaningful for DFS. That being said, it's in the mid-range, and there are 11 fights, so you kind of have to play who you think is going to win at least a little bit if you're MMEing. So I'm on Morales. Trevin Giles is okay everywhere, and it really what it comes down to is I think if Giles wins, I don't think he scores high that often. He just doesn't. I wanted to look at his fight history and his wins. His best one is a 92-73, way back against Bakhnovich, which I'm not even going to count that. So, you know, I don't see him putting up a lot of big scores. I think Morales is more likely to do something explosive, so I'll play him in GPPs. I don't want any of this fight in cash games. It's all I can say about it. I was trying to find more to talk about for this fight, and I just can't. Joe, who you got?
So Trevin Giles is dropping to welterweight to take this fight. He previously fought at middleweight. His nickname is The Problem. I also believe he is a full-time serving police officer, unless that's changed. I know that in the past he had taken time off to go to the academy. I believe he is still a police officer. Someone feel free to, you know, ping us if we're wrong, if I'm wrong. Look, Morales is 10-0. I mean, this is going to be look, we're making fun of this fight, but I am a little bit interested in the 10-0 fighter going up against Trevin Giles. I mean, is he just fighting, you know, cans? Is his competition level so inferior that, you know, Giles making his welterweight debut is going to roll over him? There are some intriguing aspects to this fight. You're right. Giles doesn't score well. We don't know anything about his opponent. Look, I'm going to throw a coin up and say, give me a little bit more Morales here just because he's an unknown quality and we know what Giles can do. And he's coming off of, you know, a ground and pound loss to Driscus Duplessis. So I'm going to go with Morales, but it's not a confident pick. And I will be very honest. I have not spent a lot of time on this fight. Probably would have spent more had I known we were going to lose two fights. But I'm going to take a small stab with Morales here. I'll also take a small stab with Giles. But, you know, heavier on Morales because we already know what Giles can't do. And we really don't know what Morales can do, if that makes any sense. I would stay away from this fight in cash, purely GPPs, purely mass entry.
Chris, who you got?
Yeah, Trevin Giles is one of my misses. I really thought he was going to be a lot better than he's performed in the UFC as far. He's a slick boxer when he can get going. He has a little bit of power and an underrated grappler. He tries to grapple when he shouldn't, but, you know, he was really competitive with Gerald Meerschaert in that fight until, you know, third round and Meerschaert just, you know, dragged him into the deep waters there. But Michael Morales is interesting. He's got a big height and reach for this division. He's He's coming in with it. I saw the note from Lorisenko in the Contender Series. He's an Ecuadorian wrestling champion. So we'll see how that goes. Although his wrestling on the Contender Series didn't look all that great. We've seen that from wrestlers who are credentialed but don't really wrestle in the cage all that much. Their wrestling isn't all that great. So we'll see how that plays if the fight does want to go to the ground. Like I said, I think Giles is a pretty good grappler. Giles has a tendency to be winning fights until he loses them. That was the case with Duplessis. That was the case with a number of other fights.
You can say in Trevin Giles' defense, he is not even defense. He is the recipient of one of the worst decisions I've ever seen in my life. How he beat James Krause, I'm still mad at
that.
That
was horrible. Krause took that fight on short notice, too.
Yeah, I lost. That was the only miss of a five-leg parlay for me. I was furious. I remember being furious. And he could have. That would have been his third loss in a row. He probably gets cut if he loses that. He's probably out on his ass. And then he runs into Bevan Lewis, and then Roman Dulidze, who now we know is distracted by Cheyenne Blissmas's stuff. Like those are his two wins.
I was gonna say I'm glad he stuck around because he handed Dulidze a loss, which I'm sure everybody appreciates because that guy is incredibly annoying. And the less I see
when
of
he's
him,
sleeping with people, he was already annoying. And then we found out he's sleeping with people's wife. Couldn't be worse.
Is that what was going on with that whole drama?
Is. She's off in Georgia and not in Atlanta.
Not Georgia like peaches. You know, Georgia.
But it's a giant he said, she said. So one time, Cheyenne's the bad guy, and JP's the bad guy. We should do a whole podcast just on the
problem. Yeah, this will be covered more on The View.
Here's actually my, even more on The View. It's my 2 seconds The View because we have less fights. The reason why I'm team JP on this one is because Cheyenne's dragged this whole garbage up in the media first. And if you did it first, I don't like you. So that's if JP was just being quiet about the whole thing, not saying anything, like just doing what he's got. And he's the one who can't fight. He literally can't fight because of visa issues. And he's got whatever's going on. He was keeping it personal. And Cheyenne runs the media. So now I'm team JP.
He can't rent a car. He can't rent an apartment. He can't do any of that.
Yeah.
Well, that was a weird. Didn't she say she was essentially in hiding? So I don't know what's going on with any of that.
And
so,
he said, yeah, because she's just, she cheated and she ran off with Roman in Georgia. Like it's her own thing. I'm not doing anything. She's out of the country.
Right. But I mean, but that's a scary thing. Who even knows what's going on with it? I don't have any idea. I guess.
Yeah, I don't know either. She wasn't clear. So throwing that kind of speculation and crap into the media, if you don't have I don't know.
And guys, she's not that hot. So we can move on.
Great. Fantastic show. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did he just drop himself?
He might have. Call the next fight.
I don't know how to flip back and forth.
No, don't worry about it.
There he is. There
I'm
he is.
I'm back.
Did you go to Georgia? Were you in hiding?
I was getting to the bottom of this whole thing. I have no idea what that was, but I just put a wrap on this because I don't think I mentioned who I was picking. I'm gonna pick Trevin Giles. I'll probably have a little bit more of him than I should because I'm still waiting for him to have that one performance that justifies my belief in him. So I'll probably have a little more of him than I should. But all these Contender Series guys are gonna have to prove it to me, except for a couple. One I mentioned and one that might be coming up, but he's not a contender yet. But in any event, I think that they're all going to have to prove it to me. Like I said, none of them looked really all that great in their Contender Series fights. A lot of them were getting pieced up before they won. I don't really trust any of them all that much. So I'm getting the rap sign. You know what? I agree with Joe.
We spoke way too much about this fight.
So, yeah, it was fun.
Not that good.
My pick is Giles.
Come on. Right. We're just having some fun. Just because, you know what? If you're going to go to White Castle after this, bring enough for the class.
Wendy's.
Yeah.
Oh, even better. I had Wendy's last night. Mm-hmm. I'm in shape, as you could tell. All right, next fight up. Michelle Pereira, 9,100, taking on Andre Fialho at 7,100. Line of this fight, Pereira minus 280, Fialho plus 225. Look, Pereira is better, but he's a maniac. So, like, give me Pereira. He probably wins this fight. He could go all crazy. It's a weird one. But Fialho is another. This is probably the guy Chris is taking. This is probably what he's doing.
Who knows?
I do know because I know who's left in this card.
I have no issue with Chris taking him.
So I think Pereira is better, but I don't trust him at all. So I do think this fight scores pretty well. I want a little bit of both guys. This is a dog I do want some of the other side of, but in terms of pick, it's hard for me to pick against Michelle Pereira in this spot. So he will be my straight up pick looking at this. Oh, good. Joe, you're up first. So Chris, hold your horses.
Okay, so look, I'm with you, Sean. I want both sides of this. Fialho is experienced. He's got some PFL. He's got some Bellator. You know, how the mighty have fallen. I mean, he KO'd Michael Vick. I mean, you know, Michael Vick was like a step away. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. James Vick, not Michael Vick. Yeah. I mixed up my Vicks.
You like how I didn't say the NFL quarterback? I said,
exactly. Yeah, you know, James Vick now, I hear he's got to actually watch how quickly his head hits his pillow because he knocks himself out each night. Yeah, so he knocked out James Vick, which again, you know, that's what it is. I'm kind of interested a little bit in the dog here. Look, we know all about Pereira. He looked really good. Guy's always ripped. The guy's a maniac. He needs to control his cardio. You know, that whole Diego fight was a mess. He had that fight in the bag. Diego pulled a veteran move and said he couldn't see, whatever. Fine. You know, look, I think Pereira is a justified favorite, but this is a pure GPP fight. I mean, you want both sides of this. Like, you want to have Pereira, if you like him, sure, you know, but take a few shares to cover yourself. This is not a can that's stepping in here. This guy has got some experience. He's got some pop. It's not going to be a walkover, you know, for Pereira. I'm looking forward to this fight just, you know, as a fan, because I think it could be really interesting. But give me a few shares of the dog. I like other options above 9K, so I don't think I'm going to be that heavy on Pereira, but you do need shares in case he just goes berserker and ends up being able to finish this guy early. But again, pure GPP fight, mass entry. I want both sides, but I guess I'll lean. You know what? F it. I'm gonna pick the dog to win.
Joe, how dare you? You knew I was coming up on it. I've been teasing it the whole show,
mm-hmm.
the entire show, and just steals it right from underneath.
Sorry,
everybody,
dude.
Drop a thumbs up in chat if you like that Joe just undercut
I
Chris.
Can't. So, I am flabbergasted.
Sorry, dude.
Flabbergasted. But I will say that I love the Diego Sanchez thing because it happened. And then when have you ever seen a fighter admit that? Like, yeah, that's what I did. I just, you know.
Well, Diego Sanchez does get knocked out when he lays down at night. Like,
well, you see the whole thing with Aljamain Sterling. It's like, no, of course not. I mean, and who knows? Like. And we're getting thumbs up in chat. You know what? I'm not putting up
thumbs
with
up,
it.
Guys.
This is ridiculous.
Do you remember the Ed Herman, Mike Rodriguez thing? Did Ed Herman ever admit to that wasn't a low blow? I was knocked out to the body, and then I got up and submitted that motherfucker.
But that's even funnier because it was such a obvious low blow that him not admitting that it was is
no, it wasn't a low blow. You mean it's such obviously not a low blow?
Yeah. It obviously was not.
That was. This is. I love that he picked Fialho.
And now I'm getting the chat stabbed me in the back. Joe stabbed me in the back.
No one stabbed you in the back. It was right to your face. No, they stuck a knife right in your belly.
I just can't win. But I am picking Fialho here. Couple reasons. It's gas tank related. It's the main one, of course. But I mean, we saw the fight with Tristan Connolly. Tristan Connolly made him tired. And then after that, he doesn't really fight pressure fighters for a while. He fought Diego. He fought Chaos Williams, I believe. And so these are fighters that are not, I mean, and Diego was a come-forward fighter, but in that fight he was doing God knows what. So that was his way out. But then he fights Nico Price, come-forward fighter. And that entire third round, Fiera is backpedaling for his life. The only reason he survives is because Nico gets tired as well and still almost finishes him. Nico just runs out of time. And Fiallo he's not fighting cans out there. He beats James Vick. He beats Stefan Sukulic in his last fight, knocks him out. So two UFC veterans there. Maybe not the best competition, okay, but point being, he's not fighting, you know, 3 and 5 fighters, as we have seen with most of the debuting fighters on this card. So, yeah, he's got a lot of power, knockouts in his last 4 fights. I think that I'd be a better combination puncher than Nico Price, I would say, puts it together a little better. My read is that he has more pure power, so it's going to be really interesting. I think that, of course, Pereira is really dynamic, really fast, explosive. He can knock him out, but, you know, for all we build him up, Michel Pereira, only 10 KOs among the 26 wins, so not like he's going out there starching every guy he meets. So I like this spot, I think. A lot of people might just go past him because he's had a good run after the bad fight with Conley there. I like him here. I think a finish is not that unlikely. So give me Fiallo, and Joe may have stolen the thunder, but I consider it my pick. So there's Fiallo.
But it's not your pick because Joe said it first.
Well, no, but I was teasing it before that. So, I mean, I staked my claim.
All right. It is co-main event time. Brandon Moreno, 8,500. Davison Figueiredo, 7,700. Moreno is the favorite, minus 180. Figueiredo, plus 155. Look, I think Moreno gets this done. Figueiredo, dangerous early, big power. Moreno is super tough. He actually, you know, sometimes you speculate, will the guy have that Mexican spirit? Moreno has it. Super tough to put away. Slippery grappler. So that power chokes the Figueiredo. I don't think they're going to get it done. Moreno's really good in the scrambles, really quick. I just think he just did not get finished early and let Figueiredo swarm. I think Figueiredo, even if he's in better shape, he's never the kind of guy to be built to go 5 rounds. He's just not. And Moreno, I think, is and will wear him down. I'm going to take Brandon Moreno by 4th round TKO. Is my pick for this one. Joe, you were Chris, you're first.
Yeah. You know, I think it's kind of probably fair to say that Figueiredo wasn't really himself for that fight, didn't really come out in top form. I think that's fair to say. I did like how Brandon Moreno really took the pressure to him. Maybe he wasn't expecting that. Or maybe he just didn't want to gas himself out. It's hard to say. But I think that there's a thing that Figueiredo relies on that Brandon Moreno kind of takes the power away from him, and that's scaring people out of the pocket with his power. Figueiredo, I think, relies on that. We've seen Brandon Moreno not fazed by that. Not only was he taking the pressure to Figueiredo in the second fight, he took a lot of shots in that first fight and kept coming. So the power is not going to face him. He's going to come forward. I'm glad you mentioned the grappling defense there, Sean. I think that's a key. I think as the bigger, stronger fighter, Figueiredo relies on that he can, you know, get fighters in top position, hold them there, get those power chokes. So two things that have become a staple of Figueiredo's game just don't work against Moreno, and I think that's key. His boxing looks better all the time. He goes to the body, goes to the head, throws in combination, and I like everything about it. I picked Moreno in both fights. I'm going to make all 3 here, and give me Moreno for and still in the flyweight division.
Joe.
And new. I'm going to play Captain Narrative here.
Oh, no.
I mean, if anyone's going to play Captain Narrative,
yeah, it's
going to
be
always
me.
Gonna
There's a fair amount of narrative on this fight. So, you know, one, the camp change. Figgy going to fight ready, training with Henry Cejudo, who you know, Brandon Moreno used to be Cejudo's guy. You know, some narrative around that. But here's the bigger narrative. And again, like, I am nothing if not a student of human nature. Moreno has got a ton of pressure on him. He is carrying the entire country of Mexico on his back. Look at all the opportunities that opened up for him after he got that win, the endorsements, right? There is so much more pressure on him than there is on Figueiredo. I wouldn't blame him if he came out a little tight. I don't know anything. You know, I'm just kind of going by observation here. You're right, Chris. The point you made, he did not look right in his last fight. It could have been a bad weight cut. The fact that he weighed in a pound under is a really good sign. Looked good. You know, fight ready. Look, you generally don't get benefit from a camp change right off, but I'd like to think that they know Moreno pretty well, and he probably could not have picked a better place to do his camp for this fight. All that, and for the reasons, the obvious reasons, which is power and you know, having the ability to just kind of flatten Moreno. Not that it's going to happen that way. I'm going to go and still and new. I love the prices of the dogs of the co in the main on DraftKings, which I'm kind of burying the lead for my next pick. But I'm going to take Figgy here. I think there's so much you could do with lineup construction. By playing Figgy. Not that Moreno is overpriced. If you like him, play him. I think he probably has a better floor in cash anyway. But I'm going to go with Figgy, and I love my GPP builds using Figgy in my lineup construction.
All right. It is main event time. Ciryl Gane, 8,400. Taking on
Didn't we skip a fight? Cody Stamann and Saeed?
Oh, we did.
The one you liked, Sean.
Yeah, I like that fight. How did that skip over?
Yeah.
My mistake. You know what? So, sorry, Ciryl and Francis, you got to hang on. We got to talk about Saeed Nurmagomedov at 8,600, taking on Cody Stamann at 7,600. I do like this fight. I think this is the third best fight on the card. Saeed is -195. Stamann is +165. Look, those odds feel wrong to me. Really, really wrong. If you want to take, if you want to read into that and say, huh, I wonder if Sniper has a bet on Cody. Yes, I do. Because the line's just off. It's nothing huge. But
that's what she said.
Yes. It's a good thing I'm funny and have a good job, Joe.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It is.
That's what I tell my wife all the time.
I feel the same way.
I'm stable and I make money.
Yeah.
And sometimes you laugh. Anyway.
Yeah. You know, my kids are going to be short, but that's okay.
My daughter's tall as hell. The rest of my family's tall. I don't know what happened. Anyway, the mailman, I guess.
Cigarettes.
Way off track again. Look, I think Stamann is, I'm going to use it again, perpetually underrated in this division. He seems to always be lined lower than he should be. Saeed is an interesting prospect, good striker. Seen him no-show before, you know, seen him finished. I know he has the last name Nurmagomedov, guys. He could get taken down and controlled in this fight. He's not that kind of Nurmagomedov. He's just not. He's a striker, kickboxer. It's what he's better at. I think Stamann could have the advantage in the grappling, but if he can't close the distance, I admit Saeed has the edge on the feet. I think this fight should be a straight pick 'em. Why not? It's how I had this fight lined. So I see value in Stamann, especially on DK, though, with all the great pay-ups. I don't want much of Saeed. I don't think he's got a great shot at the optimal. And if Stamann wins, I think it's grappling base, and he's got a real good shot at the optimal. So Stamann is my preferred play. Chris, you go first for this fight.
Yeah, I agree with you about the dynamics of DraftKings, where, you know, Saeed is probably not going to score that well. I mean, he has a couple flash knockouts in the UFC. I don't think that's going to happen here. Stamann has been tough. That being said, the fight itself, I'm pretty okay with where the line is. I think that, you know, Saeed has a big advantage on the feet, way more agile. I think Stamann's going to have a hard time closing that distance. And if he can't, I think that, Saeed's just going to pot shot him from distance and play a nice in and out kickboxing game, get his spinning stuff going. I like Stamann maybe to get a takedown or two. I don't really see him getting too much control time. It's not that Saeed won't try to wrestle, It's just that he hasn't been very good at it in the UFC. I think he went 1-for-11 in his opening fights, which was weird based on how he fights now. But yeah, I just think the dynamics are as such where, you know, it's going to be Stamen trying to rely on that big overhand right and chasing the takedown, and Saeed being able to stay out of range and pick him apart. So give me Saeed, but as I think that that is the winner, I'm not going to have too much of this fight because I don't think it scores well. If you like Stamen and you think that he's going to win via grappling, take your shot. But I am going to spend that money elsewhere.
Don't worry, Chris. That's my wife. I always shoot my shot. Joe.
Yeah, look, I'm very conflicted here because I started out the week being, you know, pro, you know, Saeed, and I had a lineup that I thought was just fantastic. And then I will say that, like, I've been kind of convinced more to be pushed towards the middle. I watched a few of Stamen's fights. Like, he has never been finished. He has fought better competition, and he could actually win this fight on the ground. So, oh gosh, I'm gonna stay with my pick of Saeed. But this is a fight that I probably want more of Stamen, simply because if Saeed does not win by finish, which is unlikely, at 8.6K, I don't see him scoring. Where Cody has a better floor with grappling. So I do want more Cody. I plan to probably have more of him in my mass entry lineups. So oddly enough, I'll pick Saeed to win, but I will tell you I'm going to play more of Cody on DraftKings.
As you should. All right, next fight up. Now we can talk about Ferragon at 8,400, trying to become the baddest man on the planet, a title currently held by Francis Ngannou, who is the underdog at 7,800. Gon -145, Ngannou +125. Look, it's interesting that, you know, we all know the breakdown of this fight. Gon is better technically, you know, needs to play the distance game, potentially could get takedowns, all that stuff, and just Francis has freak power. And you could say, like, we all know the breakdown. And still, do you really know what's going to happen? No. This is the one division where you can rely on freak power. I will not pick freak power, but it's one of those. I can't remember who said this on Twitter. It might have been my friend Newsom. If it is not Newsom, and if you said it, I'm sorry. It's interesting in that no matter who you're picking for this fight, that camp is kind of can see the other side and is like, yeah, maybe. Like, no one is like calling the other side insane. I think everybody sees both people's path to victory, and we're just gonna see what happens on Saturday night. So, give me Gon. Play both sides in GPP for sure. Play a little more of the side you like to give yourself some leverage. I hate kind of cookie cuttering 50-50 and just throwing away half your lineups. Not my style, but if that's you, sure. I will say in cash games, just stack the co-main and don't go near this fight. Like, or if you really want to play one side, sure. But I think you can get better options here. I would just stack the co-main and potential five rounds there and just sit back and enjoy whatever is about to happen. Like, this is going to be wild. So Gon is my pick, but, you know, no real confidence here. Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so look, I get the narrative on Gagne. I really do. I'm going with Frankie Murder here. I also agree with what you said about this not being a great cash fight. If Ngannou does not win by knockout, and Gon, let's say Gon wins going the distance, he's never really been a prolific scorer. You know, it could be 80 points or, you know, slightly above 80 points. Ngannou in the odd situational fight metric where he wins a decision, which I don't see happening, he is not going to score that well, unless there's a knockdown or two, and even then he might not score that well. So again, GPPs, the lineup constructions are a lot more interesting with Ngannou. You can certainly make some nice lineups with Gagne. I would say mix and match in GPPs. I think the co-main is a much better fight for cash. And if you are going to stack, which I don't think I will, but it is a better fight to stack as well in cash. So give me Frankie Murder here. by knockout. I have a hot take for once we finish this fight, which I'll give you guys by way of a wager, which I like, which I got to give props to someone who Brett and I did alpha today on Twitter. And guy gave us a really good bet, and I'll give out that bet once we're done here.
Chris?
Yeah, I would push back a little bit on the idea that Francis is just power. I mean, we all have that image emblazoned in our heads of the Jair Rosenstrike fight where he just sort of windmills his way to victory, and that happened, and we can't you know, pretend that it didn't. But I would say that Francis has always kind of had more technical stuff in him. His timing on his
counter. But Gons is better, no?
No, it's better. But I would just say that it's not as binary as all that. Like Francis has always had good timing on his counters, even going back as early as the first Curtis Blaydes fight. His wrestling defense has not, aside from the Stipe fight, it was never really that bad. It was good in the first Blaydes fight. The only takedown attempt that Cain Velasquez tried, obviously not himself, but he was able to dig the underhook. He was able to dig the underhook on the ground against Curtis Blaydes and get out from underneath him, which we haven't seen many people do. So, you know, and he's only gotten better. I mean, that second Stipe fight, somebody put up a GIF, and I can't remember who it was, but it was highlighting some of his improvements, and it was jab feint, body jab feint to overhand right, which connects on Stipe. That's a really complicated thing to learn so quickly, but also to pull off in a fight against somebody like Stipe Miocic. I think that he's learning all the time. I love that not only did he stuff Stipe's takedown, he made Stipe pay for trying to wrestle so that Stipe never even wanted to wrestle again. I love that. I think that that's really smart. We have to say that he's still hurtable. Watching that Stipe fight again, initially I thought Francis slipped and Stipe misread it when he came in, but no, he really did wobble Francis, and Francis was able to recover. So I do think the defense can still be a bit of an issue, but he's tightening up his boxing. He's tightening up his wrestling defense. He's got good timing on the counters. And Ciryl Gane, look, we know what is the strengths of him. He's very technical, but I think mainly his big advantage comes from being just that much more agile, that much more athletic than his opponents. He's fought Junior Dos Santos. He's fought Alexander Volkov. He's fought Derek Lewis. I wouldn't say that Ngannou can keep up with him in the athleticism department, but he's going to close that gap significantly in a way that other fighters couldn't. He's going to use his leg kicks, which we saw for the first time in the Stipe fight as well. And look, we haven't seen Gane be the one-hitter quitter knockout guy. He picks you apart, and then he finishes you well. If you're going to let Ngannou hang around, that's when that power can show up. He's going to get a lot of bites at this apple to land the one big shot, if you feel like that's what he has to do, certainly in his back pocket. And, you know, I can't trust Gane to stay safe for five rounds.
Wow, I would have sworn you were going the other way. I'm so happy you're on my side here.
Oh, yeah. I just like to give, a detailed both sidesing for all the
great,
fans,
man.
Out there.
I'm very happy.
But, yeah, so...
You know my official pick for this, which I meant to say, give me Gane by rear naked choke.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Wow. I mean,
I think that's pretty hefty.
I'm sure it would be. Yeah.
That's Lucha Bone there doing that on Twitter. Luca, my Canadian brother from another mother and father. Up what there is in snowy Canada.
You know, I was just trying to think of what my hot take would be, and now I'm going to look it up.
Where so I got it? My hot take as soon as Chris finished.
Yeah, but just because... Okay, go ahead, Chris. Finish up.
Mine. Yeah, just to wrap, I'm taking Ngannou here. The disrespect of such a dominant champion. For him to be the dog here. So... I'm on Ngannou, a close fight, interesting fight, but give me and still.
What round? Come on.
Oh, what round? Round two. Knockout round two.
Fight ends in submission period is plus 4,300. Is that right? Oh, no, in round one.
Yeah, could be. Okay.
No,
round one. Yeah, that's got to be round
two. That's better. Hey, Gon wins by submission, plus 900. There's your hot take.
Yep.
Wow.
That Lucha, is, our buddy Lucha.
That is
true. Got that. He banged it. I think his bookie cut him off. You know? It's nothing worse than having a Canadian bookie cut you off. I mean, come on. Guys, hot takes here. I got my hot take, and this is again. I'm gonna be very thankful of, you know, someone giving me this play, so I can't take full credit for it.
Now that I can bet in New York, let me.
That's right.
Yeah, you can tell this.
All right, let's go.
No, DraftKings. DraftKings is giving 27% profit boosts for UFC, which is awesome. Now it does limit the bet size to 50, but that's still a really nice profit boost. So what I did is I used one of the profit boosts. And I bet $50 on this play. It's Figueroa to win by KO or submission. Mm-hmm. And the Ngannou-Gagne fight to start round three. So that comes out to plus 648 with the boost, plus 823. So $50 gets you back $461.80. Nice. So I like that play. I mean, I see Figgy winning by finish. And then I do see this fight starting the third round. And maybe that's where it ends. But it only has to start the third round. So that's my play. 50 will get you back for 61.80 with the profit boost. That's plus 823 or 8.23 to 1.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
I was waiting for the official passing of the baton there. I am glad Joe didn't steal my thunder this time, at least. Thank you so much, Joe. I am taking Filho by knockout plus 400 last time I looked. So, you know, and we have one instance of that happening to Pereira, and it was our old friend Dusko Todorovic on the regional scene. So I think it's going to happen here, and it's plus 400, so pretty tasty.
All right, guys. Got anything else in chat? Got any hot takes? I really didn't queue it up. It's been a quiet night in chat, I think.
Yeah, I think people are, a lot of people are like maybe they are a little burned out from, you know, this week. There was a lot of content that was put out this week, a lot of good content.
Yeah.
You know, so we appreciate you guys rolling with us. With football season on the downturn, Chris, you got to use all your leverage with the powers that be at RotoWire to get us on Sirius. I mean, a nice MMA show on Sirius, you know, with all the time they block off.
Come on, yeah. us spitting all this fire. I think it was actually a pretty entertaining show today.
You guys don't always pull your weight, but this one was pretty good.
I appreciate that. I got a lot of weight to pull.
I got to find a chiropractor. There's a good bit of banter, some good knowledge, and Nan coming through with the hot take.
Nan is always good for a hot take.
Fig slash Moreno stack in the optimal lineup. I like
that. Wow.
Because that is go. So one of my, I do Monkey Knife Fight plays for DFS Army, and I'm literally just writing one up that'll be posted tomorrow morning that is Moreno over 100 strikes and Figueredo over 60 strikes to pay 2.5 to 1 or something like that. Like I think these two guys are about to have a war. So, and it's not significant strikes, any strike. So
can I just say I see 22 of you right now watching live. Can we get every single one of you to hit that like button? It helps the algorithm and we really appreciate it.
If you like that Joe undercut Chris earlier and took an underdog play,
forget it.
Click the thumbs up right there. Hit the little notification bell. Follow us on Twitter. All the good stuff. I could not do that. Wait. What's our usual view and like count?
Well, last time we got it's about 40 likes and I would say 3 to 350 on the views.
All right.
We got to get the views up.
This is what we're going to do, guys. I want you to share whatever you got to do. Click on it a bunch. If we get to – now, I'm going to make this a big goal, but this is going to be every week. If we get to – it's usually 350 and 30?
About 40, I would say. But, yeah, about that.
40. All right. I want 700 700 views and 60 likes.
Oh man!
And I will come on the next show clean shaven if that occurs.
No, I will do. Listen, I'm gonna. People have been bugging me. Why did you guys go to once a week? Why, like, or once a month? I don't know. Can't speak for Joe or for Chris, but at least I am. I will. We get double those numbers. 700 views, 60 likes. The next one of these shows that gets to that, the next Fight Night card, I'll be doing a Fight IQ for what?
Not
a pay per view. I'll come back.
No,
The numbers come up. 700 views, 60 likes, whatever. It doesn't have to be this one. The next video that does those numbers, we'll come on the next week, because we gotta grow this.
I'll sign on for that.
Gauntlet down to you guys.
Yeah.
Hey guys. We'll see.
It may not be all of us, but listen, even just me, Badmouth, and Chris for 60 minutes. I'll get pics from Joe. I'll text them. We'll figure it out. We'll have a good time. Before we wrap it up and do the goodbyes, make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all the premium content. No credit card required. Now, gentlemen, Joe, enjoy your Wendy's. Chris,
Peace. Enjoy
Fialo getting knocked the F out. You guys, good luck in your contest. Have a good week.
Later, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Peace. Really appreciate it.
Bye.
Peace.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.